This week's Sedra begins with the command to collect materials for the building of the Mishkan. Let me ask you, if we had a project to do, what would be the order of preparing for that project? I think the first thing we would say is that we have a project to do X. We want to build a building. Okay. Next thing would be, well, what do we need to build that building? What materials do we need? That's the second thing. And once we knew what we wanted to build and what materials we need, then we'll have to make a collection to get the materials. Wouldn't that be the normal logical order of operation?
Yes.
So why does the Torah say just the opposite when it comes to the Mishkan? First thing the Torah says is, let's make a collection. The Ikli Truma. What are we going to collect? The following materials. What are we going to do with it? Build a Mishkan. First tell me you want to build a Mishkan. Then tell me what we need to build a Mishkan. And then tell me that we want to go collect the materials. Don't start completely opposite order. Okay, first we need a collection. Of what? These materials. For what? To build a Mishkan. Doesn't seem to be just completely out of the logical order. Okay. Question. Is a question?
Yeah.
Okay. If it's a question, so we need an answer. So let's see what the answer is. What is the purpose of building the Mishkan? Where?
In the Mishkan.
Okay, wrong. That's not what the Torah says. The Asuli Mikdash, the Shachanti Bisocham. Doesn't say, make me a Mikdash. What? Bisocham means in the heart of every individual. The Mishkan was not the goal. The Mishkan was a means to reach the goal. The Mishkan was a means to bring the Shechinah into the heart of every Jew. We are the Mishkan of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? As it says in the song, which happens to be from the Hakdama of the Sefer Haredim, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. Where do you build the Mishkan? In your heart. That is the main Mishkan. The Mishkan of gold and silver and wood and hangings and whatever is the means to be able to bring about Hashras HaShchinah and the Lev of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, the main thing that has to be done first is to make the hearts of Klal Yisrael open to Hashras HaShchinah, to remove any impediments, any deterrence, anything that's in the heart that would prevent the Shechinah from coming in. That is, therefore, the main thing. Therefore, v'yikhu li truma me'es kol ish ashiyedvenu libo. The main thing here now is to have a truma. Truma means an uplifting. To lift something up. They're lifting up their hearts, ashiyedvenu libo. Or as the Torah says later on, asher nisa'o libo. We want the hearts of Klal Yisrael to be uplifted and to be have a tremendous ratzon in order that the Ribbono Shel Olam should be able to bring his Shechinah into the hearts of every Jew. In order to do that, we're going to need you to donate materials to show that ratzon of your heart, that uplifting of your heart to want to get closer to Hashem. You're going to have to put it into a concrete way, right? Meaning that put your money where your mouth is. You want really to open your heart to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Okay, open your pocket first to the Ribbono Shel Olam and show him in a concrete way that you want this, that you're ratzon. What is that? Make the donation. After you open your heart and you do something to show that you're opening your heart, then Vasuli Mishkosh. Then you can make a Mishkan. Then the Mishkan will have a purpose. There is absolutely no purpose to build this building unless it's going to be a means to open your heart that the Shechinah should be able to come in. That is, and that therefore the order is the way that it is. Yes.
So it's really Klai Yisrael's choice if they want the mishkan or not.
Not their choice. The Ribbono Shel Olam told them, "I want you to do this," right? But if they were going to do it or not, they had free choice, right? But I want you to want it. That's why I want you to take the truma, but I want it to come from your free will of wanting this to happen. Okay. With this idea, I was thinking of explaining a very difficult Gemara, which in the past I've explained a different way, but for this time we'll explain it the following way. The Gemara says like this: when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to build the Mishkan, so he told him to first make the Mishkan, in other words, the environment of the Mishkan, and then to make the Kelim, the various vessels. Moshe Rabbeinu went, and when he told it over to Bezalel, he changed the order. And he told Bezalel, first make the Kelim, the Aron and the other Kelim, the Shulchan and whatever, and then make the Mishkan, the infrastructure, the kroshim and the hangings or whatever that made the environment of the Mishkan. But Saul said, it can't be. I can't make the Kalim before I make the Mishkan, because that's not the way of the world. The way of the world is, first you build your house, then you put in the furniture. But if I make the furniture first, where am I going to put it if there's no house? Must be that the Ribbono Shel Olam told you the opposite. First to make the Mishkan and then to make the Kelim. And Moshe said, you know what, you're right. And you were in the shadow of Hashem, right, and knew that first you're supposed to build the Mishkan and then the Kelim. That's why he was called Bezalel, Bezael Kel, in the shadow of Hashem. Two things bothered me here. One is, that's first thing. What in the world, what's going on over here? Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake? That's impossible to say, because if Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake here, maybe he made mistakes other places in the Torah. Maybe he didn't get it right. And that's impossible. The Ribbono Shel Olam made clear, sure, that Moshe Rabbeinu got the idea, and he knew exactly what he was supposed to write and say and command or whatever. Elamai, Moshe Rabbeinu knew, and he changed it around anyway. Was he playing games with the Torah? Testing Yoshua, Bezalel? Why would Moshe Rabbeinu do that? So either way, either that he made a mistake or he did it on purpose doesn't make sense. So why did he tell Bezalel the wrong thing? And if Bezalel already got wind that it was a mistake and he knew better, why was he called Bezalel? Shadow is always a symbol of doubt. Beyond the shadow of a doubt. Right? In Hebrew we say the same thing. Tzilo shel safek. But light is always a symbol of clarity. If Bezalel knew better than Moshe, he wasn't in the shadow of Hashem. He was in the light of Hashem. So his name should have been Orkel, not Bezalel, not Bezael, Bezael Kel. So thinking the following. By Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu heard this sivui of building the Mishkan, and like we said, the main thing was not the Mishkan. The main thing was opening your heart and letting the Shekhinah come in. Okay? And that is called making a bayis Lashem. That's one of the purposes of the Mishkan, a bayis Lashem. And in that bayis Lashem, there you make korbanos, and there you come three times a year for Shalosh Regalim, Re'iyas Panim, to come face to face with Hashem. Okay. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, Moshe Rabbeinu's heart was full of the Shekhinah. Bechol Beisi, Nemanu, Panim, El Panim. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to open his heart, right, to the Shekhinah. It was there. So in Moshe Rabbeinu's world, what came first? What came first was actually putting the Mishkan into practice, these Kelim that you'd be able to use to get even closer to Hashem. That I don't need a Mishkan as a bayis Hashem to open my heart for the Hashras HaShechina. That's already there. So in the world where Moshe Rabbeinu was, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu understood the whole purpose of the Mishkan, and he already reached stage one of his heart being filled. So the purpose of the Mishkan then was to increase that. So the first thing came the Kalim, and then to increase that environment where the Rabban Shalom was. Masha'en came when he told it over to Bezalel, that's already down in this world. Minhago shel olam, Bezalel said. That's not the way of the world. That may be your way, Moshe Rabbeinu. When you heard the tzivui, as it applied to you personally, for sure, the Kalim came before the Mishkan. But the way of the world is not like that. First you have to have the environment. First you have to have the ability to open your heart to be a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can reside. So first you need the Mishkan. Then you can use the Kalim to be able to use that Hashras HaShchina in the proper way. So that's what B'tshel Kel. Shel means that Moshe Rabbeinu Yoshe B'seser Elyon. The Rabbanu from up there dwells, what's it called, B'seser, hidden, and that's hidden from us. But Moshe Rabbeinu was up there. So up there, the order of the Mishkan would have been Kalim and then Mishkan. But when it comes down to earth, in this world, it has to have the Mishkan before the Kalim. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make a mistake, except in the world of Gilui, where everything is clear, like Moshe Rabbeinu was up there, the order taka is Kalim and then Mishkan. When you come down into the shadow of this world, where things are not clear, there you need the Mishkan before the Kalim. That's what he said. But Shel Kel HaYisa, true. The Rabban Shem told me, up there, Kalim and then Mishkan. But he meant me to tell you, Mishkan and then Kalim, because you're not up there, you're down here in the shadow. And therefore, since you were in the shadow of Hashem, you understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant me to tell you Mishkan and then Kalim. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't calculated. It just was that there were two levels. Moshe Rabbeinu was relating to Bezalel what he heard on that level, and Bezalel understood that Enochinami, that's at that level. But on the level we're here, Min Hago Shel Olam, the order has to be changed. Yeah. No, so it could be on the rest of the Torah there was absolutely no difference. Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was bringing the Torah down here. But over here there is a Mishkan above. There's two Mishkanos. There's a Mishkan or Mikdash Shomala and a Mikdash Shomata. Moshe Rabbeinu up there was relating what the Mikdash Shomala is. When he brought it down here, it became now a Mikdash Shomata, different criteria. What? But Saul said, I understand that what you're telling me now is what you understood up there for that Mikdash Shomala. But I understand that I have to invert it because the Mikdash Shomata is a different order. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're right. But you are B'tzel Shakai. You were in the shadow of Hashem. You understood that the thing has to be inverted. Not that Moshe made a mistake. Moshe reported to him exactly what he got up in Shemayim. But Bezalel was smart enough to know that he's going to have to invert it in order to make it fit the Mikdash Shomata. And that's called Bezalel Kel. What? Mishkan and then Kalim.
Why is his name Bezalel and not Or?
Because His understanding was Lefi, the shadow of this world. You understood how, according to the shadow of this world, things have to be inverted. They can't be the way they are up in Shemayim. Okay. So therefore, the order down here in this world is, first, open your heart. That's Ashiv Ben Olibo. Then, support that by whether you have a tremendous ratzon, right, a tremendous desire, now go and do something with it. Donate those materials. The main one was kesef. The main material in the Mishkan, which was the foundation of the Mishkan, was for the adonim, the sockets, which the kroshim went into, which was the foundation of the Mishkan, was made out of kesef. Kesef means kisufim, desire. The main thing over here is your desire to have the Rabban Shalom be by you. To have the Rabban Shalom in your heart. What?
After you open your heart,
then go and put it into practice. Now, donate. Open your heart and open your hand. Right? Put your money where your mouth is. And that's what we say all the time. A person, you have to show the will, the desire. How do you show it? First, you have that desire. Then you put it into practice. And that's what it says. Pischuli pesa kechudo shel machat. You open for me a pinhole. And I'll open to you pischo shalulam. I'll open to you the mikdash. You just give me your rotzon. A little bit. But derech shalom rotzon leilech malichin also. The way you want to go, that's the way that you're led. So you show me a tremendous will. It's not enough just to want. You have to put it into practice. Show me that you're willing to donate and express that will in a concrete way. And then, after you have that and your heart's open, now you can build a Mishkan and I'll come and put my Shechina in your hearts. Now how do you, what's it called, open your heart to all those things? That's the Kalim. The Kalim is, first you need an Aron. You need a place for Kabbalah HaTorah. That's the first thing you have to make in your heart. You have to say Nasa V'Nishma. You have to. What?
Where's the Aron Kabbalah HaTorah?
Because the Aron is the place where the Torah, the Luchos, are contained. So the Aron is Makabel, the Torah. Right? So you have to be a Kli Kibul. You have to be a vessel that's willing to contain the Torah. That's me mekabel on yourself all malchus shamayim and all hamitzvahs, and it has the badim which are supporting the Torah, lifting it and carrying it. So you have support of the Torah, and it has the kruvim on, which are a sign of what's it called, like a children. That you have to feel like a child constantly who wants to grow. And the face of the kruvim was either like children or malachim. You have to be like a child and feel you're just starting out, but you want to reach to the madrega to be a malach. And that's why the kruvim, what's it called, have their wings spread up high. You want to fly. You want to grow. That is the first stage of putting the shechina into your heart. Once your heart is open and it's potentially able to receive the shechina, now do the things that are necessary to bring the shechina in. First thing is Kabbalah HaTorah. Be makabel, be willing to be makabel the Torah, all machlu shamayim, all hamitzvahs, right? Support the Torah, that's the badim, and the kruvim, be constantly willing to grow and to go higher and higher. Always feel yourself like a child just starting, and your goal is to be like a malach. That was the faces of the kruvim, were like children and like malachim. That is what's it called, Keser HaTorah. Then, next thing you need is a menorah. That is to enlighten other people. Don't only hold the Torah for yourself, but be a light, like Klal Yisrael is supposed to be an Or Lo Amin. We're supposed to be a light to the nations of the world. We're supposed to enlighten other Jews with Torah. Share your Torah. Lil Mod Amanasalamit. Not enough to learn Torah. You have to share your Torah with other people, whoever you can, with your family, with your friends, with people who are estranged from the Torah, whatever your power to do, you have a chiyuv to do that. It says later on in Devarim, Orer asher lo yokim es divrei haTorah hazos. It's a special curse to people who have the ability to set up the Torah, not be mekayim the Torah, to observe it, but to make other people observe it. As many people as you can make observe the Torah, you have a chiyuv to do it. If you can make one person, your family, your friend, right, then you have a chiyuv for that one person. If you can do it for a lot of people, you have a chiyuv for a lot. If you can do it for a whole city, you have a chiyuv for the city. If you can do it for the whole world, you have a chiyuv for the whole world. And if you do it, you get a bracha, and if you don't do it, you get a klala. So that's the next thing, the menorah, to enlighten the world with that Torah that you were makabel. And then there's a shulchan. The shulchan represents parnasa, represents the material, physical things in this world. Take your material, physical things and use them in service of Hashem. Just like the lechem hapanim was always before me. It's always there before Hashem. All your material and physical things should be done l'shem shamayim. Kol masecha yu l'shem shamayim. Everything you do, everything in this world, you're eating, drinking, sleeping, all the things that you do with your money, with your material possession, should be done l'shem shamayim. That's the idea of the shulchan. And then there's a mizbeach ketores. The ketores leaves a nice smell. It's not enough to keep the Torah It's not enough to do things l'shem shamayim, but you have to do them in a way that they're pleasant. Drachecha darchei noam. Right? Make the Torah a pleasant thing. Make it in a way that is pleasing, that's nice for other people also. You want to run to shul, don't step on people's feet. Right? Do it in a way that is with midos tovos, with ne'imus, right? That it should give a nice smell, that people should be impressed and happy with what you're doing, and not that you should do it in a way that brings a chilul Hashem, but a kiddush Hashem. You can keep the Torah, and you can keep the Torah in a way that doesn't give a nice smell, but just the opposite, gives a very bad smell. But you can do it in a way, drachecha darchei noam. That's what the Rabban Shom wants. He wants ne'imus from the Torah. Do it right. But do it in a way that you take in consideration also how it affects other people. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos. Right? Ezeu derech yishora sheyover lo ha'adam. What is the proper path that a person should choose in this world? Kol she tiferes lo seho. Make sure first that it's a glory to Hashem. You're doing it right. You're doing the mitzvah right. Don't change the mitzvah to find favor in the eyes of people. But once you're doing it right, then figure out how you can do it right and also do it in a way that is tiferes lo min ha'adam, where it'll be a glory from people too.
And what if it isn't?
What?
What if it's all right to do, but it won't be glory?
If it can't be, then you have to do it anyway. But if it can, then you're mechuyev to make sure that you satisfy both things. Both bein adam, that's what it says, v'yisem nekiyem me'ashem u'mi'israel. The nimsa seichel tov ve'enei Hashem uve'enei Adam. What does it say? The nimsa seichel tov ve'enei Elohim ve'Adam. It's important to find favor in Hashem's eyes. That's first. You can't compromise on the mitzvahs to make them nice. But once you're doing it 100% right, make sure that you also consider how it looks to people. So that is the Mizbeach HaKtores. And then there's Mizbeach HaChitzon. Once you're doing the mitzvahs and you're learning Torah and you're teaching Torah, then you need Mesiras Nefesh. Torah many times needs sacrifice. You have to sometimes give up money, time, maybe even your life for the sake of the Torah. That's the Mizbeach HaChitzon. The Mizbeach where you're makriv. You makriv your ritzonos. Sometimes you have to give up what you want for the sake of Hashem. Torah demands sacrifice. And that is also the idea of karbanos. It's also the idea of tefillah. Tefillah is, I'm willing to tell the Rabban Shalom, I can't do it on my own. I need you. And I'm willing to give up my own ideas for you. So all of that is taking that ratzon and putting it into practice through the kelim of the Mishkan, the Aron, the Menorah, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach HaKtores, the Mizbeach HaOla, right? Those are the ways that a person opens his heart to the Rabban Shel Olam and brings the Shechinah in. So you need first the make your heart empty, make it fit to have the Rabban Shel Olam in there. That is the Ratzon, Nesiyas Halev, Nedivas Halev. Then put it into practice. Donate. Put your money where your mouth is. Show that you have a strong Ratzon by doing something for it. And then build the Mishkan. How do you build the Mishkan? First, make the Mishkan, which will bring Hashem's presence into your heart, and then use the Kalim of the Mishkan to use that presence of the Rabban Shalom in a very positive way. In the Mishkan Shomala, just the opposite. The Hashem is there. Now you have to use the Kalim first to make Hashem's presence even stronger. So Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, right, heard Kalim and then Mishkan, because that applied to the Mikdash Shomala. When he brought it down into the shadow of this world, but Saul understood that the order has to be changed. First you have to have the Mishkan bring God's presence into your heart, and then use the Kalim to strengthen it even more. So that is the purpose of the Mishkan, and that is the way to be able to build that Mishkan. What does it have to do with us? That even though we don't have a Mikdash, actually, but as much as we can do, we can do. So a person has to do as much as he can do, and then the Rabban Shalom will do his part. So we have to constantly work on making our hearts a place where the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence can be, by having that Nesius Halev, by uplifting our heart and taking out all the things that are not proper, right, for Hashras Hashchina, where the Ribbono Shel Olam wouldn't want to be in the same place as some things we have in our heart. And the Divus Halev, we have to have a tremendous will to want to have that connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we have to do everything in our power to show that will. That's the Trumas HaMishkan. That's the donations, the Kesef and Zov, all the things that are precious to us, we're willing to give over to fulfill that Ratzon. And then, in lack of the real Kalim of the Mishkan, at least what we have as representations of those Kalim, representations of the Aron, and the Shulchan, and the Menorah, and the Mizbeach HaKtoris, and the Mizbeach HaZov, at least to be involved in those things, and then if we do everything that we can do, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will do his part and bring back the real Mishkan, the real Nikdah, so we can make use of those real Kalim to even have a greater Hashras HaShchina B'sol Chalev Shel Kol Echad Ve'Echad. Any questions on that? Okay, makes sense? That's good. So I just used you as guinea pigs. That is my drasha for Shabbos. I never said this anywhere before, because it was an idea I just thought of this week. But I want to make sure that it made sense. So if it makes sense, I'll say it on Shabbos. Okay. Okay. Now, one more thing, since we have a few more minutes, something more down to earth. It says by the Aron that it has to be Toho Kibaro. It has to be the inside like the outside. A Talmud Chacham, it was gold on the inside, gold on the outside. So a Talmud Chacham has to be Toho Kibaro, his inside like his outside. What does that seem to imply? Which comes first? The inside or the outside? The inside should be like the outside. Outside first. Like, you can't have the inside like the outside if there's no outside yet. First you have the outside, then you make the inside. Does that make sense?
Yes.
What's the main thing in Yiddishkeit? The outside or the inside?
Both.
They're both, but which would you say is more important? How you dress on the outside? Or you look like a Talmud Chacham, or you are really a Talmud Chacham? Okay, hold on. Excellent. But I have to say the shir, so I'm going to say the... Very good, but we have a question on that second. Let me tell you a story, and you'll see why the outside comes first. I was a rav in Miami many years ago. I had a woman in my kehillah who came from a family that was Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. They were Shomrei Shabbos, but very light. Here in Israel, they call it Dati light. Right? They were... not very serious about Yiddishkeit. They just kept it a very shallow way. They had kashrus, they ate kosher, but if anything had a K on the label, even in the name of the product, it was kosher. The Shabbos, they didn't drive, they didn't answer the phone, but anything else, Lama Tesla, I'd never heard of. And that was the way they kept Yiddishkeit. This woman got married, and she married a man who was along the same lines, and that's the way that they conducted their home. Until she had her first child. And then she got a little bit more serious, and she said, I have to bring up a child to be from. I can't do it in this shallow way. I have to make my Yiddishkeit more meaningful and more intense. And she didn't change overnight and become some kind of fanatic. She started learning. So she started learning about kashrus more, and she made these standards in her home much better kashrus-wise. That took a few months. And then she started working on Shabbos, and her husband went along with this. And they came to Shiurim, and they came for guidance. And within a year or two, they had upgraded their level of Shmiras HaMitzvahs very, very nicely. Lagabi kashrus and Shabbos. In those days in Miami, kimat no frum women dressed halachically proper, especially married women. Most of them didn't cover their hair, except for the rabbi's wife or the rabbanim in the day school or whatever. The Klei Kodesh, their wives or the teachers, they dressed halachically proper. Most of the people, they were lucky if they dressed all together in Miami in Lamaisa. What's it called? That was the way it was. So, and one day called her in and I said, you know, you've really improved your level of observance, Shabbos, Kashrus. I think you're ready for the next stage. The next stage is Sneas. I think you have to start dressing halachically also. She said to me, Rabbi, I don't feel inside like a Rebbetzin yet. And if I'm going to dress like that, I'm a hypocrite. People are going to think that I feel like a Rebbetzin, and I don't. I only look like one. When I feel like that, I will start dressing like that. Until then, I really feel like a hypocrite if I dress on the outside in a way that doesn't reflect how I feel on the inside. I said to her, you're making a big mistake. I'll tell you what you can be compared to. You can be compared to a person who comes to shul on Simchas Torah and says, I don't really feel happy with the Torah. I don't really feel happy. If I get up and dance, I'm a hypocrite because people would think I'm happy. So I'm going to sit here and contemplate being happy, and as soon as I'm happy, I'm going to get up and dance. The person will sit there till Tisha B'Av. Right? I'll never get happy like that. You know how you get happy? You dance. Like you said, the chitzonius is ma'orer, the pnimius. That's all mitzvahs are like that. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. So therefore, first you have to do, a hypocrite is somebody who wants to put on a show and doesn't want to get to that level. He doesn't want to be there. He just wants people to think he is. But if you want to get there, the way to get there is to go through the motions. Motions create emotions. That's how you get to those emotions. You go and do things, right? And on ma'orir, you're pnimius. So therefore, the outside has to come before the inside. That's the way of the world. There's only one problem. The Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says, v'tzipisa oso zahav tahar, you should cover the aram with gold. How? Mibayis, inside, ubachutz, and outside. So which does the Torah mention first? First inside, then outside. So why did the rabbis turn it around? And why did the Torah say the opposite? So I think what the Torah is saying is not that. The Torah is saying like this. If the Torah just said, cover it with gold, where would you cover it? Outside or inside?
Outside.
Outside. Because all the other kelim, which are covered with gold, are only covered on the outside. So I would say, the Torah says, v'tzipisa oso zahav tahar, put gold on the outside. Then it says, mibayis, also on the inside. And then it says again on the outside. So there's three levels. Outside, inside, outside. Now how did that work? With the orange, very clear how it worked. The Rashi says that Bezalel made three boxes. The main aram was wood. That was a medium-sized box. There was a smaller box of gold and a bigger box of gold. First, Bezalel took the wooden box and put it in the bigger box of gold. Now it's covered on the outside. Then he put the little box of gold inside the wooden box. Now it's covered on the inside. What's missing? The rim. If you look down, you see a sandwich. Gold, wood, gold. So the rim isn't covered. So now you have to cover the gold on the rim, which is the outside again. So the order is outside, like the rabbis say, then inside, but then there's one more point, outside again. Why? Let's go back to the person dancing on Simchas Torah. Person says, I want to be happy, so I'm going to dance. Now he's dancing, and after an hour, he really feels inside extremely happy. Should he stop dancing or continue dancing?
Continue.
Why?
The life will stop.
Could be. There's another reason, though.
To express it.
Ah, excellent. I don't have to give the shiur. Excellent. Because there's a second idea of outside. Expressing those feelings. And expressing those feelings in a concrete way is more than just feeling them. There's a Ramban that says the following. The Sfasemis brings him down. On a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Mata'iru u'mata'oru esa'ava ad shetech patz. So the Ramban says what it means is the following. Don't arouse yourself to feelings of love or fear of Hashem. Very nice emotions. Ad shetech patz, put it into a chefetz. Put it into something concrete. Don't leave it just ethereal, in floating in the air ideas and emotions. Put them into something concrete. Not only that, Rav Moshe Cordovero says that the neshamos in Gan Eden look forward to Tchias HaNesim, when they'll be able to go back into a body like we look forward to Mashiach. If we think it's a higher level to be a neshama in a spiritual world, it's not. The highest level is a neshama in a body, because then the neshama can be expressed in a very physical way, which is more concrete. So there's three levels. First, go through the motions. You don't feel it, doesn't make a difference. You want to feel it, go through the motions. If you dress tzanua, eventually you'll feel tzanua. If you constantly walk around in a bathing suit, you're never going to feel tzanua, right? But if you dress in a way that's tzanua, you'll feel tzanua eventually. If you want to get to there, you're not a hypocrite. Dress the way you would like to be, and eventually you'll be like that. So the first level is go through the motions. Then you'll get the emotions. Once you have the emotions, now express them in the external way, because expressing them in an external way makes them much more real. Okay. Have a good Shabbos and enjoy the snow.